Good morning, 740 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. Mayor D.C. Reeves always joins me at this time on a Wednesday. Mr. Mayor, welcome back to the show, sir.
Good morning, Andrew. How are you?
I'm doing great. We're obviously watching Milton, now downgraded to just barely a Category 4, but we're still expecting a massive storm to hit Central Florida. You know, the oddest thing just caught my attention. Somebody sent this to me, but I had seen it before and forgotten. Have you seen the picture of the barges in Tampa that are all, like, chained up, secured to the floor of the water? Like, that's their solution for all these construction barges? You got any feelings about that?
Yeah. I did a meme check first just to make sure somebody wasn't messing with us up here. I have seen that. Hopefully it works. I did see that there was some land on the other side. I mean, I don't know how calm the water is at its end, but I don't know how calm it's going to be either. But yeah, definitely give me some PTSD.
He's the same. I'm like, oh, no. So I hope it works better for them than whatever we didn't do didn't work for us. Do we have – I know PPD and Pensacola Fire both had been prepared to deploy people. Do we have anybody deployed or waiting to deploy at this point?
Yeah, I think we've got some of our – awesome officers have raised their hand and stepped up. I think it's about 8 to 10 of our PPD officers are going to be in the first wave of a collection of about 80 first responders officers in the panhandle that are going to be going down to the base camp in Tampa set up by FDLE. And I believe our guys are going to be going to Bradenton Beach and Hamilton Beach and then coming back to that base camp in Tampa. So, you're talking about 7 to 10 days, raise your hand and say, I'll go do it.
Yeah.
Put yourself in that situation if that's something that you'd want to do. So, I'm very, very grateful. We say, these are our heroes and our protectors. And here we are, not even in our own city. We've got our guys going out, stepping up when our state needs it.
And, absolutely.
And so very, very appreciative of our guys, and doesn't surprise me bringing trailers of mowers and all sorts of other equipment to help get debris cleared out and keep people safe. Very appreciative of our guys.
Yeah. And if you didn't bring it, you can't just go to the store to get it. That's, you got to really plan ahead for this kind of stuff, which is a different kind of experience, I'm sure, for those folks. Let's talk about some things closer here to home. First one is, I think it's a big deal for the county. It's also, I assume, kind of a big deal for the city because county government has now changed. You have the District 4 seat appointed Ashley Hoffberger a month before the election. We know there's going to be another change in seat coming in a month with, Stephen Stroberger. I don't know why we have Stroberger and Hoffberger. It's making me unhappy. But we may have a third seat with Stephen Berry. Who knows how that one's going to turn out. But your thoughts about the appointment of Ashley a month before the election and just in general how this might change, because District 4 is a big part of the city, right?
Well, what I would say, my focus primarily is to get leadership in District 4, period. I've shared that with the appointments office over months of time, that at the end of the day, that's significant representation for our city in county government, that seat, period. So, I think Ashley's going to do a great job. I certainly support getting someone in there now and being able to start getting things done. If you're a citizen of District 4, yes, you're a city resident. Many of them, not all, are city residents. I would be frustrated to not be able to have that voice and whatever the issue may be. And we forget oftentimes, we look at city and county as different. The city is in the county. So the representation of those five county commissioners and having the city represented equitably is important. So it's long overdue. And I'm certainly, whatever the decision of the governor is, I'm certainly in support of to be able to get somebody in there now, and let's start making some decisions that represent the city.
No, I completely agree. The beach on the north side of 4 are out, but most of the rest of it is the city of Pensacola. Do you happen to, because, look, I know this affects you, and, you talked to the governor, and, I think a lot of us were surprised that the appointment didn't come right after the primary, but did come before the election. I kind of figured that at this point it wouldn't happen until then. Do you have any knowledge of why or what the process was? Were you involved in this at all? I mean, we're all trying to kind of understand it, and I figured, there's a chance you might, and I didn't know if you knew anything.
No, I mean, obviously, what I did is I stated our case and different points we talked about. Certainly, I was advocating, at the time for Councilman Moore because of the great job that he does at city council. But Ashley's going to do a great job. I know she is. And you know, we're similar in that we're, you know, small business owners, entrepreneurial type mindset. So, you know, why not, you know, instead of why not, it's how can we, and I like that. And, you know, she's doing it for the right reason. We're not the same way. I'm not trying to, you know, I don't know that I'm going to spend 50 years in politics. I'm doing this because I love this city, and I know she's doing it for the same reason. So I'm glad to have her, and I'm glad for us to have leadership in there. But in terms of how we got here, you know, I call up to Tallahassee and state my case, and you know, of course, that decision rests in Tallahassee. So, but you know, we are where our feet are, and we'll move ahead with leadership in four.
Another big thing has taken place. Maybe not quite since we last talked, but it's recent enough. Tim Kinsel is on the job. You know, able to have a little bit of breathing space doing your job duties back to being just the mayor?
Yeah, it's been great. And as you'd imagine, I mean, even the orientation before his first day was being in phone calls about Helene, potentially.
Yeah.
You know, you can imagine having his experience and steady hand in the room. When he's been through so much and so much experience just at NAS Pensacola, much less NATO or the White House or everywhere else.
Right.
So it's been great to have him. You know, I know he's, you know, sopping up everything like a sponge right now and listening in a lot of meetings and you know, getting caught up. And but yes, I'm very, very much, as I say in the building, I'm very much looking forward to firing myself from some of these, you know, initiatives, you know, things that we have going. Let him do it. And let me go be the mayor too, you know, which is not only, you know, engaging our community, it's engaging our employees, you know, being able to go down to a floor and say hello and not be just in the grind all the time.
Right.
And we've been successful and productive because of that, but you know, having that extra set of hands and with that level of experience is going to be huge for us. So certainly excited to have Tim.
It's also fun sometimes to discover that even though you thought you had to do it all, it is possible for somebody else to do an awful lot of it, and then you can breathe, which is
That's
nice.
Right.
I wanted to ask you about Bruce Beach. We didn't get a chance to talk about that last week, but I thought your comments yesterday were very interesting because my picture of maybe it's just the name, calling it Bruce Beach and its sandy interface with water. It seems like the kind of place that the goal is to let people be able to swim there. You know, there used to be a pool and all of that. But there's been this conversation about whether it's safe to get in the water there. Of course, recently they tested positive for human fecal bacteria or whatever. And, you know, you guys are trying to figure out where that's all coming from. Is it or isn't it supposed to eventually be a swimming beach?
Well, I think in an ideal scenario, obviously, where there's, you know, sand, I don't think anybody would say, oh, we want to design it where nobody would go in the water. But
right.
I think what was important for context, and you know, this is not new because of the latest tests, and there's lots of myths out there. Yes, there has been some consistency of water quality issue over years of time,
right.
And actually at different points in our bay, you know, Sanders Beach. Here, I mean, there's been water quality inconsistencies, and that's, I mean, go look at Bayou Chico. You know, I mean, we've had these issues kind of holistically in the bay, but understand this is not, you know, there's a theory out there that this has been happening every week, every test the entire time. That is not the case. We were testing it a year ago. It was fine, you know, and so this is a new independent issue. That's part of a larger generational issue, but
right.
But this is not that it's been every test has failed for the last X number of years. That's not actually true. So, you know, we went further testing. Sometimes it'll test, but you don't know if it's aviary. You don't know if it's human bacteria. We took an extra step proactively to get a genetic test with UWF, realized there it was human bacteria. And so now what we're basically doing is working with ECUA and DEP to move up the stormwater pipe. There shouldn't be human bacteria coming out of a stormwater pipe. This is not a sewer main. This is a stormwater pipe. So, you know, that begs the question, well, then how is it getting into our stormwater system? And so is it a cross connection? Is it a broken sewer line on private property, which is a whole other conversation? And, you know, how is it getting in there? And so we're working upstream. And our team, all three of those teams were doing that late last week, basically popping manholes, going up and seeing, testing right there, and then seeing, you know, where you can close it in. And this process is what took place a year and a half, 2 years ago when, you may recall, we found the break at Garden and
Right, Spring, right, I do, yeah.
That right there at that intersection that got fixed. Same concept here is that we're just kind of, that's what they did then. It was kind of moving upstream and trying to, you know, isolate where this might be entering and then figure out the cause for
okay.
it. So So our teams are working together. But the point was, we were supposed to open Bruce Beach Phase 2 on Saturday.
Right.
And I didn't feel good about opening Phase 2 without turning our bandwidth to solve. I'm not saying we'll solve it in the next few weeks, but I wanted to make sure we had priority focus on getting this fixed before we were cutting ribbons.
Opening the land side with warnings not to swim or concerns about water quality is one thing. But, yeah, if it could get fixed, I mean, great, you know, if we could figure that out, sure.
Exactly.
Did I hear you say, just pardon, it's a little bit off, but the Balin slip, that is closed right now? Am I right about that? The little public area, no. Access area back in there? Is that, I thought I heard that, and maybe I'm wrong.
Not that I'm aware of. Okay. No, that should be open.
Okay. It just suddenly jumped into my brain. I thought I heard it like in a Pensacola City Council meeting or something like that. I did want to ask you about the camping ordinance. Of course, you and I have talked quite a bit about this. I thought Jen Brer raised some, you know, fair, like, here's what the ordinance says now about RVs. Here's what could be true if this current one goes in, the proposed one. Here's what's true about, you know, camping with permission, but you have to have access to the bathroom versus... I assume you guys have already been working on those questions to get clarity about what layer of the law would be enforced. Is that right?
Yeah, absolutely. What we all want is a finished product that is seamless. But we also, you know, what I do is I rely on the expertise of our city attorney's office. And so when those questions come up, whether it's a council person or a citizen, I know what I am and I know what I'm not. And I'm not an attorney. You know, I can know what the outcome might be. And so as Councilman Brayer has and other council members have reached out, that's their city attorney's office too. And they've already been, prior to Monday afternoon, been in conversation back and forth. I wanted to land somewhere that makes sense for us to be able to enforce and adheres to House Bill 1365. The nuance of that, whether we, for example, refer to the state statute and that causes people not to be able to camp in an RV. There's lots of what ifs in that, and also understand, like we talked about last week, is there's very clear language in there that allows our law enforcement and code enforcement officials to determine whether this is a temporary shelter or it's someone sleeping in an RV in their driveway one night. I mean, and so, you know, these conversations only really confuse the citizens to make it seem as if here's this crazy scenario. Well, there's lots of crazy scenarios we could come up with the current ordinances that are on the books right now, you know, that would not adhere or not fit, just because it's hard to fit every situation. But I know Councilwoman Brayer's been in contact with several in our city attorney's office, so has others, and I maintain the same thing. I'm good with wherever our city attorney, our expert, lands on making sure that code, you know, it makes sense for code, makes sense for PPD, and certainly makes sense for the law. That's what I'm looking for. So whatever iteration that is what I support, and that's why you have two reads. That's exactly
right.
Why.
Yeah. Questions come up, and you maybe have to adapt.
Have this
right.
Conversation. Exactly. We can pass a first read and not pass a second read, and give that homework and kind of give that see if we can pass
or
that
tweak
test.
Or adapt.
So looking forward to the conversation Thursday. And we'll see what happens.
FSU Auburn, pretty big game Saturday. Sold out like in an hour, I think. Is that right?
That's right. Yeah.
Crazy.
Yeah, very excited for that. I was one of those things that I said, if I was to become mayor one day, we finally have to get FSU to come play over here. And and you know, interestingly enough, 2 years ago they had a very rough year, and that was when we were kind of establishing it. And I was texting with Link Jarrett, the coach, and you know, man, we'd love to get you over here for a midweek game or something. And then, you know, that starts to gain some steam, and it was like buying stock. You know, last year, FSU gets all the way to the College World Series. I had a shot to win the national title, and then now we've got them coming here in October. So you know, their success and fate has it additionally worked out in our favor. It would have been great to have them anytime, but it's even
especially
better
now,
right
yeah.
now because of how good a year they had and how much promise they have. And you know, it, again, sold out, not a standing room ticket available, nothing but citizens that want to, you know, residents, visitors, that want to engage, 9 a.m., there's a tailgate and a big screen and food and drink and stuff out front, free of charge, don't need a ticket. You can just come if you want to kind of be in the atmosphere, like you're tailgating at a football game, you can do that.
You said free beer and brats outside at the game from 9 to noon? Is that what you said?
No, that's just for media, for radio media. Sorry, not for other guys. Yeah.
Oh, that's perfect. Unfortunately, we are completely out of time, even for our – well, I'll give you one quick frivolous lightning round.
All right, please.
When you send a text with a misspelling in it, do you send a correction text with an asterisk?
I heard this earlier. You know I was a journalist, so yes.
Oh,
I have to. I can't
with the edit history.
That I don't know how to spell. Yeah.
And is there a word? Is there a word that DC misspells in a text most often?
Well, remember, I told you, you know, Zaragoza is my number one because no matter how you spell, you always get it wrong.
Oh, yeah. There is no correct spelling for Zaragoza, is what I've learned. So.
So it's always right, maybe.
Maybe you can look at it either way. That's right. Mayor D.C. Reeves, look forward to the city council meeting tomorrow night. Thank you, as always, for the time. Probably see you at the game on Saturday, and we'll talk to you again next week. Thank you, sir.
All right, Andrew. Thanks so much.